Ellie, welcome to the Pivot Podcast this morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
It's an honor to have you here. Ellie, you grew up in Waverly, Nova Scotia, and I was interested in knowing if you recall the moment you had the realization that you wanted to dedicate yourself wholeheartedly into the sport of gymnastics. Do you remember that feeling? And do you remember the people and programs or whatever it was early in your life that helped build your strong athletic foundation?
Yeah, so I actually grew up in Halifax, Nova Scotia. And I got into gymnastics when I was about 6 or 7 years old. Growing up, my family was always very active. We had a very family-oriented lifestyle. We spent a lot of time outdoors, and someone suggested to my parents that they try and put me in gymnastics. And I loved it ever since I started. And I think that's where that first spark came, was just from stepping into the gym and seeing everybody flipping and flying. And I knew that that was something that I wanted to do, and it just kind of clicked really easily for me. And, growing up in Nova Scotia, we have such a great sense of community and support. And I think that really showed, even though we had a small club, a small gym, a small program, gymnastics wasn't as big in Nova Scotia as it was in a lot of places in Canada or other places in the world. We had a great team there. My coach was phenomenal. Even though I wasn't the greatest all around, he definitely saw something in me, and he was willing to work with all the athletes to help them to achieve whatever goal that was for them. And so I think for me, it was just having a great gymnastics community here in Nova Scotia, having a great community in general. And we just had a lot of support, and it's built up a lot over the years to get to where it is now. It's grown so much, and it's incredible to see that. But I think without that support around us, it would have been very different, or it would have been very difficult to kind of get to where I was. So I was very fortunate for that. And I think for me, like, the moment when I started gymnastics, and I loved it, but I think one of the moments that I really decided that, I wanted to try and go to the Olympics, I wanted to try and, really take it to the next level, was watching actually David Kikuchi. So he's my coach now at the moment. In 2008, compete at the Beijing Olympic Games representing Canada. He trained at the club that I was from. And, knowing someone from Nova Scotia, from your club, seeing them train at, and then competing at the highest level of sport in the world, the Olympics, that was pretty incredible and pretty inspiring. So I sat down with my coach KG at the time, and we created a plan, which was to hopefully get us to go to the Olympics. And it didn't go exactly as planned, but we did end up getting there.
You had a few things in there, Ellie, I thought was really interesting. But one of the things that really struck me was you said you weren't really the greatest all around, and the coach was willing to work with everyone, to achieve whatever goal that they had. I mean, you did kind of just touch on this, but one of the questions I had was, did you always set out to be the best? How does somebody go from not being the greatest all around to reach achieving the level of success you've had?
Yeah, so I started gymnastics, and I was very strong, very energetic. I got a lot of skills easily because I had a lot of muscle and strength, and but my technique was not there. I'm not a flexible gymnast. Cleaning up my gymnastics, it wasn't the easiest for me. And we have four events. We have the vault, the bars, the beam, and the floor. And vault and floor always came a little bit easier to me because they were like power events. Bars, I struggled with a lot. I had a hard time learning how to swing on bars. I had a hard time figuring out how to do bars, really. So I guess that's when I say I had a hard time all around. There were certain things that came easier to me than others. And I think that's like anything in life. You have to stick with it. You have to keep going. You have to keep working at it, even though you're not good at it. And sometimes we have to put a little bit more attention to those areas. And so for me, it took a long time. It took a really, really long time. But by my second Olympic Games, I competed in on bars, and that was my highest score at the 2016 Olympics. So, it went from being my worst to one of my best events. But it took a long time to get there. But, you know, he he definitely saw the potential, and we never kind of gave up on that apparatus or that event just because I wasn't good at it. We wanted to keep working and see, you know, how we could improve and what we could achieve it in all aspects of the sport.
Yeah. So I just think you're touching on something I find this fascinating generally. You know, just a general idea of motivation. Like, why is it that some people quit at something when it gets difficult, and some people just persist and you know, see that as an opportunity, perhaps? And in your case, it sounds like, you know, you taking your worst events and perhaps turn them into your best. Do you have any thoughts on that? Why is it that you were able to persist?
I think, of course, with the support of people around me and you know, them not giving up. And then also my goals, I think they drove me to not give up and to keep working on it and to get better. And, you know, we all have those days where we just feel like throwing in the towel and we're like, why am I putting in this effort? You know, it's hard when you don't see quick change. But I think it's just having patience, trusting the process, really just believing that, you know, this hard work is going to pay off and you're doing it to achieve what you're working towards. And I think it just comes naturally too with the sport. It's a very competitive sport. I have a very competitive nature. And I think for me, it was just being competitive with myself and not wanting to, you know, just take the easy way out and not do it. You know, I wanted to be one of the best. I wanted to be able to achieve the dreams I had, and I knew that I had to continue working at it, but it doesn't mean it was necessarily easy every day or all the time. You know, there were times where I got really frustrated and I didn't know whether I was going to become any better at the bars or not.
Ellie, I've heard it said more than once that gymnastics is like diving, except with the ability to land in water. Except without the ability to land in water. And when I think about that statement, I think about the toll it takes on the body to maintain peak condition. Can you relate to that statement at all and share what your thoughts are?
Yeah, so I think gymnastics and diving are very similar. And I think it's definitely a sport that it takes your whole body all the time. You're using every inch of your body. And so there's goes a lot into keeping up, maintaining, making sure you're staying healthy, making sure you're keeping your body at its best and conditioning. And, you know, I think that's just one of the key factors about those sports is they're full body sports. And there's a lot of impact that goes into it. And whether you're landing on your feet or going headfirst into water, you know, there's a lot that you need to prepare for.
Totally. And it really appears to me like you have really revolutionized the sport of gymnastics in the sense that there seemed to be this prevalence of very young, petite girls that were seeing the most success in your sport. And as they matured, their window of opportunity in gymnastics gradually closed, if that's fair to say, which is in stark contrast, perhaps, to the male gymnasts who appeared to have longer runways. Now, you come along and you've changed all of that. I mean, you've been to 3 Olympic Games representing Team Canada. You've won numerous national championships in your teens and in your 20s. What do you attribute your success to in terms of your longevity as a professional competitor?
Yeah, so, you know, typically women's gymnastics many, many, many years ago was you were younger, you were smaller, you didn't stay in the sport very long because if your body started to change or the training was just too much of a toll on the body. And for the men's, you know, they develop a little bit later. So they would have a little bit longer of a career because as they got a bit older, they would actually get stronger. And, you know, I think it's something that's been phenomenal to see over, you know, the past many years is that it can be the same for the women. It doesn't have to be, yeah, you know, a short career. You actually, as you grow, as you get older, as you develop, you can get stronger and you gain a lot of experience. And, you know, all of these things are really going to play into helping you compared to maybe when you're young and you don't have a lot of experience and you also don't have a lot of body awareness. And so I think, you know, that's been very incredible to see that change and that shift. And then as well, you know, we're seeing girls with all different body types being successful at the highest level of sport. which is amazing because, you know, everyone's unique in their own way. Everyone's got something that puts them aside, stands out for them and will help them to achieve and succeed in whatever their goals are, what they're doing. So I think it's been really great to see that. And for me, you know, I've just had phenomenal coaches along the way. I think we've been really smart with our training plan. We didn't push too fast from a young age, or overtrain. I think we did a really good balance of just, you know, being able to learn what we needed to when we needed to, but, you know, trusting the process that we're going to get to where we need to be. And, you know, doing a lot of conditioning. I think that's one of the key things, is just keeping your body strong to prevent injuries, but as well to be able to do those hard skills. And just kind of throughout over the years, you know, we've tried lots of different things. We've tried what works for me, what doesn't, and kind of learned. And now we have like a pretty good idea of what we need to do. But, you know, we're always changing and we're always learning and trying new things. But I think we just had a really good mindset towards it. And, you know, not having a set end date. You know, if we weren't ready, we'll just wait for the next year, the next time. And, you know, I think that's definitely just kept me in the sport as long as I possibly have, because I still enjoy it. I love it. And that's the reason I do it. And my body's still healthy because we have such a phenomenal team and community behind me, you know, giving me that support I need to be able to keep training at the highest level, because it is a lot. It does take a big toll on the body.
So in that regard, Ellie, can we get a sense of what a day in the life of Ellie Black looks like? In particular, maybe any routines you consider crucial?
Yeah, so for me, I have a pretty busy schedule at home. I guess a day in the life would be, like, I train 5 days a week at Alta, my gymnastics club, and then 2 days a week at the sports center. And so I do some lifting there. I do a lifting program with my weight trainer. And so for me, it's usually getting up in the morning, making sure I'm starting the day with a proper breakfast, you know, drinking some water, kind of getting myself woken up and just kind of knowing what I need to achieve that day. Then I would go to either the sports center to do a lift and then to the gym. Or if I just have the gym that day, I would head out to the gym. Training at the gym usually starts with, you know, a good stretch, a good warm up to make sure you're warming up your body. And then we'd spend time on the different apparatus. So we have four. We don't usually do four every day unless we're in routines in competition season. So we'll spend, you know, a good chunk of time on each event, either working towards putting routines together, working on new skills, or doing routines during competition season. And then we always finish off with some conditioning. You know, we'll do mental routines. Sometimes we'll do trampoline work and finish off with a good stretch just to make sure we're cooling down and keeping our bodies strong. And then, you know, making sure you're getting good recovery. So that's either going home and having something already prepared or coming home, cooking a good meal. You know, usually throughout the week, I have multiple physio appointments. I'll have massage. I'll have some weeks I'll have sports psych. You know, there's a lot of extra things that go into it. So just depending on the day, you might have some of those. And then outside of that, you know, your normal family activities, normal work activities, emails, you know, calls, everything you possibly need to. But then as well, making sure you're having time at some point in the day or later in the evening to relax, unwind, and do good recovery, whether that's, you know, taking a bath, icing my ankles, just listening to music, watching a movie, something to just kind of bring the body, the nervous system down and kind of reset and get a good sleep for the next day.
Ellie, you were separated from your team in the year and a half leading up to the delayed 2020 version of the Olympic Games, which, for lack of a better term, was less than ideal preparation, I think it's fair to say. And notwithstanding that, you also had an injury and since had to undergo surgery. What do you believe got you through those times? And what did you have to keep telling yourself, knowing you were not physically at 100% going into competition again?
Yeah. So, you know, coming off of an injury, just starting to get back, and then COVID hit. And that was really tough because I was in that mindset of let's push, let's go. We're on the up and up towards the Olympics, and all of a sudden everything's kind of crashing down. There's so many unknowns. We're all in lockdown and you don't know what's going to happen. And I think that was tough in a sense because there were so many unknowns, and, you know, we felt isolated, whether that was just in general in your community, in your home, or, you know, isolated and not being able to see my team or do my normal activities and train. And so, you know, I've had a lot of injuries and things that I've had to overcome in my career. And so I think a lot of these kind of helped prepare me, but nothing can prepare you for what we went through, because no one's been through something like that before. So I just tried to pull from the experiences I've had before and try and keep, you know, a positive attitude and know that I was doing everything I possibly could with what I had in the situation we were in, and trying to make the best of the moment. You know, there's always the what ifs. There's always, you know, you wish it was different, but I think it's just taking what you have in the moment and working with that. And so we did a lot of Zooms as a team. We would stay connected. You know, we were out of the gym for a long while, not able to train. You know, that's not easy for an athlete. This is our everyday life, something we've done for, you know, 20 years. And then not being able to do it and not even having the choice, I think was really tough. Then the Olympics got postponed till the next year. I think the postponement was a little bit easier because at least it wasn't canceled. At least there was still hope that it was going to go forward. And I think that kind of drove us to keep going because we knew that possibility was still there. So that kind of kept us going. And, you know, just knowing that we were hopefully going to get there. And it was really tough, though, because it wasn't a normal year. It wasn't normal training. I didn't have any competitions. I didn't see my team. It was really tough to push through, but luckily, you know, I had a good team and family around me supporting me. Like I said, we did lots of connections for our whole team working together and just trying to make the best of that situation.
It seems to be a common thread in this conversation is the team around you. And it just got me to thinking that you have so many admirers, both at home and abroad. And in fact, I was speaking to one just the other day. Now, full disclosure, it happens to be my best friend's 9-year-old daughter. Her name is Nora Stamm, and I know she will be listening with eagerness to this podcast very soon. So Nora lives in Ancaster, Ontario, and she wanted me to ask you this. Have you ever been afraid to do a skill? And if so, how did you work through that fear?
Oh, well, hi, Nora. Thank you for the question. Yes, I have definitely been scared of many skills in my gymnastics career. I was actually scared to go backwards. When I was younger, I wouldn't do anything backwards. I just went frontwards. And that was something that I really had to work towards overcoming if I wanted to go further in the sport. And even still to this day, sometimes I get scared of skills. I have a skill on bars that I don't like doing, and sometimes it gives me a lot of grief. But I found that when I'm scared of a skill or I'm having a difficult time, I try and just take a few steps back. I try and go back to the basics, make myself feel comfortable, start working back with mats. I start to put, you know, I ask my coach, kind of create a plan. How can we do this in a more comfortable way? And then build up my confidence to be able to do it when I'm feeling better and good. And so sometimes you just have to be really patient with yourself. You have to know that it's going to take time, and you have to just have that confidence and belief in yourself that you will get over it, because it may just take time, but you will get over it. And it's just kind of putting in that extra work on those things that we're scared of or we don't want to do.
Totally. And her follow-up question was what your secret is for keeping mentally strong, even when things don't go well.
Yeah. So when things aren't going well, keeping mentally strong can be very difficult. I've had a lot of experience and practice. I wouldn't say I was the best at the beginning. And I think my coaches have instilled a lot in me. I've worked with sports psychologists to be able to help me. But I think it's just trying to have good perspective and remind yourself that what we're doing is hard, you know, and as long as you're trying your best, you have to be proud of yourself and you have to be happy and just trust that, you know, it is going to work out. You just have to kind of keep going and keep that positive mindset. And so something that I've always done since I was younger and since, you know, my coaches have helped me out, looking on just trying to pick out a positive, something positive, not focusing on the negative. And you look at those mistakes or those things you need to overcome as things that you're going to learn from and get better from. So we try and turn it into a positive and not keep it so negative. But I think it's just really just, you know, taking it one step at a time, trusting yourself, trying to remind yourself of what you're working towards, find that perspective and try and keep it positive.
So I think what we're touching on a little bit there is something I wanted to ask you about, which is just dealing with pressure. Like from my perspective, it seems like, you know, we just got a glimpse of the sheer degree of, you know, training you do. You said multiple physio appointments a week, massage. Then you have the sports psychologist. You know, there's so much time and focus and attention being put into you know, making yourself the best version of yourself as a gymnast. And then all that just kind of boils down to one moment, right? Like picture yep. yourself at an Olympic game and, you know, I know there's several events, but really it's just like the competition time versus the training time is so vastly different than I think many other sports. I'm kind of curious to what those sports psychology, you know, conversations sound like. I just feel like this would be tremendous pressure that someone would have to deal with.
Yeah, there is a lot of pressure that goes into it. And I think thinking about all the pressure and thinking about the end result and the outcome, that stuff, you know, it's going to go through your mind. It's going to cross your mind, but we don't spend a lot of time focused and lingering on that. I think for us, it's more of being present, being in the moment, focusing on the process and focusing on the things that you need to do to be at your best. That's what we do every day in training, you know, focusing on what you need to do to be able to go out there and hit that routine. You're putting in all that training time and all those repetitions and, you know, every day when we're at training, there is, you know, some days where you feel more pressure or you feel, a little bit more stressed, but you're just kind of taking it back to those key moments in the routine and focusing on those key words that you give yourself, you know, focusing on the places you're looking when you're doing a skill, and those things always kind of stay constant. And so if we can continue to focus on those, you know, that'll kind of ground us as we go into the competition. So I really just try and focus on the preparation and the process and kind of taking it one step at a time rather than making it one massive thing that is kind of overwhelming and daunting and putting a lot of pressure on end results, because first, you have to go out there and do it before you can think about what's going to happen after. Something for me is I just try not to focus on the end results. I try and focus on what's in my control and going out there with the best positive mindset, preparing as best I possibly can, knowing that if something does go wrong, I can adjust. I'm going to be able to, you know, not give up and make the best of that and keep pushing and see where that goes. But you know, at the end of the day, you can't control what other people do. You can only control what you go out and do. So it's just, it's focusing on that and giving it your best shot. And if you've gone out and you've done everything you possibly could under those circumstances, you have to be proud of yourself because it's never going to be perfect. In our sport, we're always trying to achieve perfection, but there's always going to be something that goes wrong or something that's off. And so it's just really going out there and giving your all.
So when I'm watching you on TV, are you feeling cool, calm and collected? Or in that moment, is your heart beating out of your chest? Like, does any of this stuff fully work? You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, no, I'm definitely stressed. but you know, I'm more stressed usually in the days prior or the morning before when we get to the gym, when we're going, you know, you're right in your element. You're so focused on what you're doing that a lot of that goes away. And then there are moments right before you start where like your heart's pounding a lot and you're nervous to go. And that's where you kind of have to take your brain brain back and really just focus, okay, what are the things in the routines that I need to focus on instead of the nerves? Focusing on your breathing too is very helpful. I've learned that over the years, is kind of calming down your nervous system. That helps. But yeah, just really focusing on what you need to go. And then once you're going, you know, you're so focused, you're so concentrated on what you're doing. And usually in gymnastics, it goes pretty fast. It goes by pretty fast. Other than the beam, that one always gets you, you know, yeah. You're always nervous on the beam.
Yeah, I could see that. You know, another thing, I do a fair bit of research before we, you know, interview our guests and things like that. I try not to watch too many interviews because then it's going to influence what I'm most curious of. But I noticed a recurring theme in that you're extensively referenced as Canadian, Ellie Black. And obviously you are. But that what I'm saying is, I think if you're a Canadian or, you know, of any other country, you want to cheer the home country when you're watching the Olympics. You might not even be a person that is particularly into sports, and you feel this sense of, you know, pride and all those things watching your home country succeed. Does this add to, you know, the pressure and the stress associated to the Olympics? Like, it seems to me like, you know, you would probably be feeling some degree of Canadian pride. And I've seen some athletes at times say, you know, you kind of feel like you let the country down if you don't do well. Does this come in your head?
I think for me, I'm just very grateful and thankful for the opportunity to represent Canada at the highest stage of competition. You know, representing Canada at any international competition when I was younger was always that dream, to make it on Team Canada and be able to go international and wear the maple leaf and compete. And so getting the opportunity to do that at the Olympics multiple times, you know, that's something that not a lot of people get, that opportunity to represent Canada in that way. And going out, I always say we have the best fans in the world. They're going to cheer you on, whether it went great or, you know, it wasn't your greatest competition. But just the support we have from back home, it really does make a difference. I think we definitely have the greatest fans. They're so supportive. You know, I think there is definitely those moments where you don't want to let the country down. You don't want to let all your supporters down, everyone who's kind of been behind you. But at the end of the day, I try not to worry about, you know, because that's out of my control. And I know I'm giving 100% when I go out every time. And I know I'm only human, and humans make mistakes sometimes. And I think sometimes as athletes, you know, we kind of put ourselves in these boxes of like, we can't make mistakes. We have to be perfect. You know, you've trained your whole life for this. And of course, we don't want to make mistakes. But sometimes it does happen, and that's okay. And it doesn't take away from who you are as a person or an athlete, or what you've been able to achieve. And so I think that's an important thing to remember as well. And I know that I've had good competitions, I've had bad competitions. And either way, I've always come home and I've had such phenomenal support. And I think that really is what also keeps me going, because I know they know that I'm going out there to do my absolute best always. And if there is something that goes wrong, they're there to pick me up and kind of keep me going.
You recently wrapped a 35-city tour called Gold Over America, featuring some of the most accomplished female gymnasts of our time, including Simone Biles, amongst many others. I was interested in knowing what you felt was the best part of your experience on that journey, because judging by some of your recent posts on Twitter, it looks like you guys just had the best time. So do you mind sharing a little bit of insight about your experience there?
Yes. Simone asked me to join the tour just after the Olympics. And, you know, it was such a phenomenal experience. I didn't want to pass it up. And of course, I hurt my ankle in the summer. So during the tour, I was primarily on bars, and you know, I didn't know exactly what this tour was going to entail. I've never done something like this before, but I was just very grateful for the opportunity to be asked also, because there was only myself and one other girl, Melanie from France, who were international, and the rest were, you know, local to America. And so it was kind of intimidating a little bit going in, not knowing a lot of the girls super personally. You know, I've competed with a lot of them over the years, but some of them I've never competed with, or I didn't really know. And you know, it's definitely a new situation. But I was so excited for this opportunity, because it was a chance to, you know, get to know these incredible women on a much deeper level, be able to perform and do gymnastics in front of, you know, many big crowds, get to see America. And, you know, I love doing gymnastics. I love performing. So I think that was something that was really appealing to me. It was something I've never done. And something that hasn't really ever been done was a gymnastics tour kind of mixed with dance. And it was really a show. It was an amazing performance. But I think something that really spoke to me about the tour was the message and what that show was all about, which was, you know, sharing the highs and the lows, sharing, you know, talking about mental health and some struggles and things we've learned along the way, to hopefully, you know, share with other young people, athletes, anyone who really came to see the show, that, you know, we all have gold inside of us. We're all unique and different in our own ways. And you know, we're all going to find that and be able to share it. But, you know, we've all got it inside, and it's not always about, you know, a gold medal. It's about you and what you bring and who you are and going out there and just being the most authentic and best you and loving yourself. And so I think the messages that came from the show were so inspiring. And you know, I feel like I learned a lot from this experience. I feel like I came out every night onto the floor, you know, feeling inspired, ready to go out there and hopefully, you know, inspire, you know, someone else in the crowd. And it was just, yeah, an incredible opportunity as well, just to tour across America, hopefully inspire others. And then also, you know, yeah, it was awesome to be, you know, a Canadian gymnast with that opportunity to be there with all those American girls and just do the tour. But really, like, it was an awesome experience to just go enjoy, and you know, I missed home, but the tour, we really became a family, and so I'll definitely miss that.
I think you should just bring the tour to Canada next year, so tell your people to make that happen. It was awesome.
Perfect. Yes. We've gotten so many requests for it, so we'll make it happen.
Ellie, you were recently hired into the RBC Olympian program, and I was wondering what you're most excited about as you take on this new role at RBC.
Yeah, so the RBC Olympians program, I've known about it actually for a while because David Kikuchi, my current coach now, he was an RBC Olympian before, and one of my previous teammates was an RBC Olympian. And so, you know, I think for me, I knew it was an incredible program, and especially here in the Atlantic community. And, you know, I've been an RBC customer for a very, very long time. So I've been involved with RBC, and just knowing how invested RBC is in the Atlantic community, I think that was something that I wanted to be involved with. And so just knowing that you have such an amazing team behind you and you're working with them, I was very excited for that. I'm very excited to learn as well. And then also share some of my experiences and some of the, you know, opportunities that I've had to have a platform to share my experiences, share what I've learned, hopefully, you know, inspire others, and then as well work with other athletes. You know, there's so many different programs that we get to do. And so I think it's a very amazing team to be a part of. And yeah, it's just, I think I've learned so much, and I'll continue to learn so much through the program and be able to meet so many people and just exchange stories, exchange what we've learned, and like grow together. But I think as an athlete, yeah, definitely in the Atlantic community, that support is number one. And so just having such a phenomenal team behind me, you know, it's an amazing feeling.
So we're coming on to the tail end of the podcast here, Ellie, and Marcel just hit on something I really wanted to talk to you about anyway, which is basically, how does someone transition into, I don't know, let's say regular life after being a full-time professional athlete? Like, what does that look like perhaps for you?
Yeah, so it is actually quite difficult. You know, there are things available, programs available to help us. And actually, the RBC Olympian program is one of those, because as a RBC Olympian, you know, you get experience within that company, public speaking, you know, doing events. There's a lot that you get experience in, and that kind of will help transition you out of high-level sport, but it is very difficult because as an athlete, you've devoted your life to something you're so, so passionate about. And then when that kind of comes to a close, it is, you're almost lost a little bit. And so having support for the athletes to be able to work through that, I think is very important. We also have some game plan programs available to the athletes to help, but, you know, I'm still training. And, you know, it is always in the back of your head of like, oh, what do I want to do after I'm done? How do I transition out? It can be kind of daunting. It can be very nerve wracking. It can be stressful. And so having these programs available, I think is very important because that brings down a little bit less of the stress, but I'm still transitioning through it slowly. You know, I'm not retired yet, but I'm still going to be training for a while. It's just, you know, you do have to start thinking about it early on because it is a process. But having that support, I think, is number one.
And hopefully, as you said, that will be a long ways off and you're healthy and training for quite a while longer. Hopefully. yes, exactly. But I've always been very curious about that. And hopefully you were able to take all these very positive opinions and remarkable things you've told us today and apply that to whatever you decide to do in the future. And perhaps, I hope I don't mess up your motto here, dream big, don't let anyone else set your limits. And I think that could apply to anything you do. So I just think I thought that was a great motto to have here, regardless whatever you end up doing. But I think what we can do, Ellie, thanks so much for joining us. That was great. I think we touched on a lot of different topics and I really, really appreciate you taking the time to do this.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Ellie. On behalf of all of us at RBC and Kennedy, make us proud. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.